you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel.
Good morning. Today we're going to study 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church about a problem that at first glance one would think that he was overreacting in what could be perceived as a non-issue. But Paul believes it to be of such importance that he writes about it here in chapter 8, and that is whether a believer should eat meat that was once offered to idols. Now I want to read you 1 Corinthians 8 in the New Living Translation. This is Food Sacrificed to Idols is the title here. Now let's talk about food that's been sacrificed to idols. You think that everyone should agree with your perfect knowledge. While knowledge may make us feel important, it is love that really builds up the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. But the person who loves God is the one God knows and cares for. So now, what about it? Should we eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really a god, and that there's only one God and no other. According to some people, there are many so-called gods and many lords, both in heaven and on earth. But we know that there's only one God, the Father, who created everything, and we exist for Him. And there's only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything, and through whom we have been given life. However, not all Christians realize this. Some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as the worship of real gods, and their weak consciences are violated. It's true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't miss out on anything if we don't eat it, and we don't gain anything if we do. But you must be careful with this freedom of yours. Do not cause a brother or sister with a weaker conscience to stumble. You see, this is what can happen. Weak Christians who think it's wrong to eat this food will see you eating in the temple of an idol. You know there's nothing wrong with it, but they'll be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that has been dedicated to the idol. So because of your superior knowledge, a weak Christian for whom Christ died will be destroyed. And you are sinning against Christ when you sin against other Christians by encouraging them to do something that they believe is wrong. If what I eat is going to make another Christian sin, Paul says, I will never eat meat again as long as I live, for I don't want to make another Christian stumble. There were two groups of people in the Corinthian church, and both groups needed instruction from Paul as to this question of whether to eat meat offered to idols. The first group was the weak believers, who had an image problem concerning idols. They couldn't make up their minds as to whether the image of the idol was real or not. They couldn't let go of the influence of the idol that they had formerly worshipped. It was ever before their minds, so for them to eat meat that was offered to idols was the same as being in the temple and eating it there in their former days of worship. The second group was the strong believers, who Paul said had knowledge to know that an idol was just a piece of stone and was nothing more. To them, it had nothing to do with an idol. But the problem came when these strong believers couldn't see that their faith in eating the meat became a stumbling block to the weak brother who was still struggling with the temptation to worship idols. And their disregard for the feelings of the weak believer became an issue with Paul. Their failure to recognize the problems in overcoming idolatry that these weak brethren was going through should have been obvious to them, Paul believed, and it should have moved them to not eat the meat out of love and respect for them. So we find that the Corinthian church had vision problems. First, concerning the images of the idols, and second, in the awareness of a weak brother concerning meat offered to these idols. A few years ago, Barbara Streisand recorded a song called On a Clear Day You Can See Forever. The song was from a Broadway play about a woman who supposedly had ESP and could know when things were going to happen. If you don't know what ESP is, it stands for extrasensory perception. Some have called it the sixth sense to know something before it happens. For example, she would know when a phone was going to ring or when someone was about to drop in. Now, we don't believe in ESP or the things that went on in that play. It was a comedy. But the question I want to ask is, why can't we be more aware of the things of God so that we might understand the circumstances in our lives and in those about us? What is wrong with our spiritual vision that we don't see our dilemma and what is needed in our life or in others? The sin of idolatry was so prevalent in Corinth that Paul had to address different problems because of it, and over in these books of Corinthians, he talks about the problems that come about as a result of idolatry. As we said last week, there were about 1,500 prostitutes in the temple where the worshipers committed fornication in their worship to these idols. Some believers in the church had formerly participated in the sex worship of these idols. And in chapter 6 and in chapter 7, Paul had to instruct these believers that those who commit fornication would not inherit the kingdom of God. Fornication was one of the byproducts of their worshiping idols in that manner. And in today's lesson, he once again addresses a problem caused by the sin of idolatry. There were many believers of Jesus in this church who had never completely settled in their minds that these stone idols were not gods. That seems unreal to us in our day that anyone could believe a stone statue is in any way a god. But you see, their vision was blurred. In my study of this chapter, I came across some accounts that they worshiped Diana, and they worshiped Venus, and they worshiped Aphrodite, the sex goddess. So it could be that they just worshiped many idols, and Jesus was just another one of those idols to them. They couldn't grasp that Jesus is the only Son of the only God. But the Corinthians' vision was blurred. It was a cloudy day to many of them. These weak Christians had formerly participated also in the elaborate feast in the worship of these idols in the temple. The entire worship of these idols was a party where they were eating sacrificed meat, drinking, and orgies. And many times there was meat left over, and these idol worshippers would sell it in the marketplace. All of Corinth knew that this meat had been offered to idols. and some of the believers in the Corinthian church would buy this meat. They had no problem with it because they didn't have an image problem. They didn't have pictures pop up in their minds of idols when they were eating the meat. It was just meat to them. And if they said grace over their food, it was no different than any other meat that they would buy in the marketplace. But the weak believer at Corinth didn't feel that way. The stronger brother in Christ ate the meat in front of this weak brother, which caused him to think that he could eat the meat also. But when he ate, he felt guilty that he had sinned before God, which caused him to lose his faith and go back to worshiping the idols. Paul told us in Romans 14 that what is not of faith is a sin. And in that 14th chapter, he brought up about eating meat as to whether it was a sin or not. The meat he talked about there had not been offered to idols, though. Bottom line is, if you can't eat meat in faith, you shouldn't eat it. You shouldn't do anything that you feel is wrong, even though it may not be wrong, but until you have settled it in your mind, what you can do in faith, you shouldn't do it. That's what Paul said in Romans 14. There were many issues, like eating meat, or like today, eating meat offered to idols, or whether to worship on Saturday, or whether to worship on Sunday, that could cause a person to question their faith. It's really a heart issue. The test to see if it is a sin or not to you is to ask whether you still have faith after you do what it is that you're not sure about. Has it affected your faith? Are you still strong in that area? Or are you troubled about what you've done? If you're troubled, then you should leave it alone, no matter if others are doing it or not, and no matter whether it's a sin or not. Well, you may ask, what has all this to do with us in our day? We don't have the problem of idol worship, but we have other images that are just as much idolatry as those stone images were in the day of Paul. And I'm speaking of pornography. I think the major problem of pornography is the same type of problem that we're talking about with these idols. It's a vision problem. Now, anyone who gets on the internet is in danger of having pornographic images pop up on the screen unexpectedly, unless you set controls on your computer to block those images. I would say it happened to me no more than 5 times in all the many years that I've been on the internet that an image of pornography popped up on the screen. That's the way it does. It just pops up on the screen without warning and without asking for it. Some websites have it programmed to do that. But in those times, when that image popped up for only a few seconds, it was amazing how long that image stayed in my mind after it was gone. It seemed to linger there even though I only saw it for a few seconds. I had to pray and ask God to take that image away. And even the next day, I would think about it and would see the image in my mind. So I had to pray again and ask God to take the image away. After a while, I didn't think about it and I forgot it. But the prevailing power of an image is powerful. There was a study done that says learning is done mostly when we see something, rather than when we hear it only. That's why good teachers have handouts and writes things on the chalkboard, or who has some overhead projector with the image shown on the wall for all the class to see in their teachings. Our lesson today is about images. One of the Ten Commandments is not to make a graven image to worship. So we find the power of these graven images of idols were powerful in this church. We can liken it to an evil thought. Have you ever had something on your mind that you couldn't get off? How do you conquer a thought? How do you conquer an image of pornography? Well, first rule is you don't go in that temple and look upon Venus. You throw away all the idols of Venus that you have hidden someplace. And you don't keep thinking about Diana. And you remove all the images of Diana from your house or work. You get rid of all the idols that bring up an image of idolatry as far away from you as much as is possible. Paul spoke about these mind problems of images in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. He said to pull down strongholds and imaginations. It's a warfare that requires prayer and maybe fasting. Instructions that are found in that chapter of 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 are the most effective way to conquer evil images or thoughts. Paul said to pull down that stronghold. Now, I don't know why Paul used the words pull down, because it makes it seem to me as though you're pulling it down toward you instead of throwing it away from you. But when he says pull down strongholds, he's saying to conquer it. If you pull down something, it means that you're stronger than what you pull down. It's not just a casting away for it to return another day, but pulling down is to conquer it once and for all. The most effective way to do this is to tell the devil to get behind you as Jesus did. Get behind me, Satan, for you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And we may have to tell him more than once, but eventually he will leave as he did Jesus. Paul has told us that we must have the mind of Christ in order to walk in the Spirit. Worldly thoughts and images are not from God, but it's from the Lord of this world. We've been talking about an image of pornography. But what if you don't think there's anything wrong with pornography, as these strong Corinthians didn't believe there was anything wrong with eating the meat offered to idols? Now, we're going to change our way of thinking here a little bit. We're talking about two different things. Pornography is definitely a sin, and it's wrong, and there's no question about it. It's not one of those gray areas like eating meat offered to idols is. This meat offered to idols and then sold in the marketplace is not sin or wrong of itself. It's not something within itself that is evil. But that's not true with pornography. Pornography has to do with the lust of the flesh. The meat only becomes part of a sin when it's offered to an idol. And even then, it's not a sin within itself, The sin is in the heart of the person offering the meat to the idol. But pornography of itself is a sin. It's an image, the same as an idol. So we're talking about two different things, even though we're talking about images. So if you have the image of pornography that you clearly want no part of, you don't want to feel guilty just because you've seen a picture of pornography. It's like any other temptation or any other evil. You have to resist it. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You have to tell him where to go. It's not enough just to resist and say, leave me alone. That's not enough. But you have to demand that he leave. There's two ways of looking at resisting. In France, during World War II, there were a lot of French citizens who fought the Nazis by what they called the Resistance Underground. It was a group of citizens who were not soldiers in the French army, but they were ordinary citizens who fought the Germans by blowing up bridges and doing other acts of sabotage on the Germans. They were called the Resistance. The resistance movement didn't just stand in the court square speaking on soapboxes against the Germans. I'm sure that they did do that until they were arrested and killed. But after that, they didn't remain in a passive resistance. They became active and covert in their actions to where they actually carried out attacks against the enemy. But yet they were called the resistance. So resisting the devil is not a passive thing. It's an active thing. It is an attack by saying, get thee behind me, Satan. So there's two parts to praying. One is submitting to God and asking for deliverance. And the other is attacking the evil by casting out and pulling down and then resisting the devil in attack mode. There are so many men and women who are caught up in pornography who are Christians, and they are absolutely having a terrible struggle with it. Part of the reason is because of TV, movies, the internet, and even magazines on the rack at the grocery store. Now that same person who may be struggling with pornography wouldn't dare lie or steal because that's against the Ten Commandments. But they don't realize that they are violating one of the Ten Commandments of thou shalt have no other gods before me, because they make pornography their idol. It becomes a god to them and takes over their life. Those who have problems with pornography, if you put a Playboy magazine in front of them, they're going to go back into pornography because it's addictive, it's obsessive, and it is compelling. And that was the same thing that was going on with these people about idolatry. If you gave them some meat offered to idols, they would go back into idolatry. And that's what Paul was saying. The weak brother couldn't get the image of the idol out of his mind that he had formerly worshipped in devotion in Corinth. Maybe they had cut themselves in worshiping that image. Or maybe they did all kinds of acts upon themselves in that worship of that image. Does that sound like pornography? I want to address the person who's doing all the stumbling right now. I want to address the weak Christians who has problems of some sort of addiction. Like the alcoholic who's walking in a cloudy day, the porno addict is walking in a cloudy day. Those who are confused of what's a sin and what's not a sin is walking in a cloudy day. And they've made an idol out of the thing that they are addicted to. I'm talking about your worship of something that has become an idol to you, an image. I'm talking about the devotion of loving something more than you love God. We know what we're addicted to. We know what the devil tries to trip us up with. And on a cloudy day, we can't see the forest for the trees. But on a clear day, we can see forever. What I'm saying is we have to recognize our addiction. We can't hold others responsible for our actions and say, they caused me to fall into sin. I have a pamphlet that's called Others May, But You Cannot. It says that others may be able to do things that you may not can do because God has set you aside to Himself. He has said no. He says He wants your devotion exclusively. I want you to devote to me above this image that you're addicted to. I am jealous of your worship of your image. I want the devotion that you give to it. That's what God is saying. Have no other gods before me, and I will hear you, He says. If we open our eyes and see ourselves the way God sees us, then it will be a clear day that we can see forever. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, I thank you that you love us enough that you want all our devotion. We are that important to you, Lord, that you want all of us and that you don't want us to withhold anything from you, but you want us to give it all to you. We lay them at your feet, Father, and we know that we are special unto you and that you called us to so great a devotion. I praise you, Father. I give you glory, and I magnify your name, and I want no other gods before you, for they be no gods except you. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. It's a heavenly place, and He's laid.